This podcast was brought to you by Future ADHD, planners that take the pressure off so that you'll actually use them. Hello and welcome to Your ADHD Besties, the podcast for people who manage to be underwhelmed, overwhelmed, and incredibly attractive all at the same time. I'm Tara Brusso, dietitian and diagnosed ADHDer.
And I'm Grace Coolmer, founder of Future ADHD, teacher and diagnosed ADHDer as well. How are you? How was your week?
My week has been good, fairly uneventful. Which means that I was stressed all week because I have ADHD.
And then we get amnesia and forget what the heck we did,
But I did do something that I have been umming and ahhing about telling you.
Which means you 1,000,000% need to tell us.
I went to the Apple store. And you know how when you walk in and they do that whole like, we're really good at customer service thing where they're like, yes, what was your name? And then they address you by your name. And it's like, okay, yeah, very all right, you're superior customer service. But anyway, so the guy asked me my name and he's like, okay, Tara. And then one of the other staff members, this girl, she was lovely. She walks up to me and she goes, Tara? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And she pulls me aside and she goes, can you come with me? And I was like, oh my God, I've won a free laptop or I'm in trouble or something. I don't know what it was. Yeah. I just assumed the best and worst, which is my brain. And she pulls me aside. I'm like, oh my God, what is it? Maybe I'm like the person who's going to win a voucher or something. I'm the 100th customer that day. And she's like, she goes, I just wanted to let you know that your bodysuit's unclipped and the tail's hanging out the back. So I didn't win a laptop.
Oh.
No, well, I won being embarrassed for the rest of the day / week / month.
My God, is that a bit of an ADHD moment though?
Yeah, like, it is. Seriously. Very ADHD moment. And
this is what happens.
Even my 6-year-old was a bit embarrassed of me. He was like, yeah, mummy, I didn't know what that was. And
He could have told you.
Well, he didn't know. He just thought that that was how I was dressing now. And I think he was a bit disappointed in me.
Did you want to like question mum's fashion sense?
No. So that was my week.
Wow.
I walked around the shopping centre for a good 40 minutes before going into the Apple store as well.
Oh my God, babe. But this is what happens when ADHDers try and wear clothes that require too much executive functioning to get on and off.
Yeah.
Like I have a really cute play suit with a lot of buttons and I hate wearing it. I love the way it looks, but I hate wearing it because I have to take out all of the buttons in order to
go to the toilet.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Or you also feel like an unpeeled banana when you're sitting in the toilet and you're like, hi everyone. Usually I don't come in here like, I don't. Yeah. Definitely too much executive functioning for me to clip up my bodysuit. So that's that. How are you? How was your week?
My week was good, but I am walking around with basically half my hair done right now. Because
which is, I think, equivalent of an unclipped bodysuit.
Yeah, it's pretty close. So basically I booked in with a new hairdresser who's your hairdresser, and we asked if she could fit us both in the same session.
Because Grace is a baby about appointments and didn't want to go on her own.
Well, I've just moved to this area and I don't know like what hairdresser to go to. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can just come in with you.
So we snuck her into my appointment.
We did.
And we both have too much hair.
We have so much hair and the hairdresser did not realise that my hair was long and thick, which I also didn't realise.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, like,
I was quite stoked when we were leaving. She's like, both got lots of hair. And I thought, oh thank you.
Compliment, but not in this case. So anyway, basically she had half a head of foils in my hair. And I was in the sink, like, getting it washed off. And she's just like, I'm really sorry. My next client's coming in. I haven't got time to do your toner or your cut or your blow dry. And I was like, oh.
So we both walked out of there with wet hair, which is like a drowned, sensory nightmare.
Like a drowned cat. Yeah. So, that was fun. But your hair looks really good and my hair definitely looks half done because what I'm getting done to it, like, you actually had your toner through it, whereas mine, it's just not quite what I wanted.
It helps me to envision.
I don't know actually.
Envisage. I think it's both.
Yeah.
What you will look like as a sexy elderly woman, because it's so light.
Thanks, babe. Yeah.
But it's also,
it is very light.
I think it's going to be a beautiful base for the toner.
Yeah.
You look good with anything.
Oh, babe. Yeah, thanks. Babe. But yeah, so anyway, I've learnt that I need
to... It's what's on the outside that counts. That's what we want to get across from this podcast.
That's our goal.
We only care about our mission. Looks. Oh, good. So
I've learnt to tell hairdressers, especially new ones in advance, like, prepare thee the way for a lot of hair incoming. Like,
yes.
It's clear your schedule. Mm-hmm. Didn't realise. So, yeah. Joke's on me. Anyway.
Okay.
We should get on with the Rex.
Let's get on with the Rex.
What have you got up your dainty little sleeve?
I'm wearing a little dainty sleeve.
You're very dainty today, darling.
So, my Rex this week are a bit boring, but also really exciting.
Okay, I do say. Love something that's boring but exciting. Mm.
So, if you have ADHD, these are the two things that I always recommend to my clients.
Okay.
Kitchen scissors and a stick blender. A good one, a metal-bottomed one. We don't want a plastic one, no. And the reason we want these things is because we can have textural issues. It can be harder for us to eat fruits and veggies.
Mm.
Kitchen scissors, integral, because you can chop things like salad up. You know how sometimes you're eating a salad and you're like, yeah, this is enjoyable. I like the flavors, but the texture, you know, you don't want a whole leaf in your mouth and all the different textures of it at the same time and those sorts of things. So kitchen scissors, chop everything down small.
I'm sorry, wait. You can cut vegetables with scissors?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I thought that was only like when you're when you go out to the garden, not that I have a garden.
That's where you thought kitchen scissors were.
Yeah, I was like going out to get herbs. And then I'm like, oh, I should cut off this, like, you know, basil or whatever.
No, like put them into a bowl
all
together, lettuce, all those sorts of things. And then you can actually just cut with your scissors into it over and over and over again. And then you get this sort of even texture.
So you just take out the whole middle step of having to put it on a board as well. And then
No. This is just for like leafy things.
Okay.
You can't do like a tomato. Oh, you can't like just like, were you thinking that you just put like a tomato and a carrot in a bowl and then you can
so
this chop?
Is, no, I don't know. I've never cut lettuce with scissors, so that's just blown my mind.
Yeah, lettuce. That's what I mean. Okay. Lettuce, greens, those sorts of things.
Or like herbs, spring onion.
Yeah, you could do that too, but mainly for things like lettuce. So that's a really important one.
Okay.
To help salads be more tolerable, and then a stick blender, because we're going to go through phases, especially if we're dysregulated. A lot of us can feel like the texture of veggies, although we want the veggies and we want the nutrients from them, and they can be really helpful when we're in that ADHD sort of burnout mode. We can struggle with the textures during those times. So stick blender means that you can just puree it all down. So like say you're making a soup and you just can't cope with the chunks, puree it down. Same fiber, same phytonutrients, like all the antioxidants, same protection. It's just you don't have to deal with a surprise bit of zucchini on a week that you're already feeling stressed.
I hate a surprise bit of zucchini.
I hate zucchini always.
It's not the right texture.
And when people are like, oh, you know, I made zucchini pasta. And it's like, no, you made a hot salad. That's not zucchini pasta. I'm not here for that.
No.
No.
No. It should be banned.
The only thing I'd like zucchini in is a cake. Have you ever had zucchini chocolate
cake?
Yeah,
but then you can't taste it though.
Yeah, I know. And it's moist. That's the only time I want that texture.
Yeah.
Never elsewhere.
Never elsewhere.
No. So what about
you?
All right. So my Rex will see how they were boring, but exciting. No, not exciting.
I see how they were boring. No, I did. No, you did help. I did get a scissors moment from that.
Yes. Okay.
No, I'm sure so many people. Anyway, onto my Rec.
Okay. So what is your Rec?
So I was thinking about this last night as I was going to sleep, and my rec is something I wanted to like do a rec that I've actually tried for a really long time, because it's like a really like maybe almost a decade of this rec. So I'm a pillow connoisseur.
Self-proclaimed. Yes.
I am very picky about my pillows.
Yes. And a pillow sommelier.
Exactly. Mm. And about a decade ago, I started using memory foam pillows.
Mm.
Do you know about memory foam pillows?
Yes, I do. Thanks.
Okay. Wow. Okay. She's spicy today. So my physio recommended that I use the memory foam pillow for my neck. And I loved it. So that's been about 10 years I've been using that. So highly recommend that. However, about 2 years ago, I upgraded to a memory foam pillow with a cooling gel like square.
What? When you started this off with a memory foam pillow, I was like, you're fired. Because that is not a recommendation.
Yes.
And also, thanks 2008, we've all heard of them. Yes. But what is a cooling...
That's
you have
why.
Just
this is
turned
why.
This train around. What's so, a cooling gel pad?
So, you know that feeling when you're trying to go to sleep at night and ADHDers get really, like, super sensitive about
yes.
heat
yes.
and sticky things yeah. and, like, weird sheet feelings and we, like, roll around? And then you know how you're always trying to get the cold side of the pillow?
Yes.
This is the cold side of the pillow.
Always.
Always.
Does it warm up though?
Eventually, but this is my caveat. You're already asleep by the time that you've warmed it up with your face.
But does it get warmer than a pillow would be?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh,
no. So
my
it's just like
God.
a cool thing. So then you just put your face on it and while you're going off to sleep, your face is fairly cool. And then your face eventually warms it up. Just like a heat pack would, I guess. If you're using like a cold pack eventually.
It warms it up to room temperature.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just like if you were holding a cold pack. But like, yeah, it's not ice cold. It's just cool.
Oh my God, that's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the biggest shock for me. I cannot believe that I found that interesting in the end.
Oh, good.
When it started with memory foam pillow.
Yeah, I was losing you. I could see it. But yeah, so that's been my upgrade. And it's been great. That's my rec.
I love that.
Go out and find yourself a pillow that does actually keep your face cool.
I'm going to try yours.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you put any pillowcase over the top?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I love that rec. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Great rec. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Is it time to get into some dilemmas?
Yes, we should. Wait, this is the first... This is the first episode. We have do that. We're planning on doing a little introduction.
Oh my God, we were.
You guys are experiencing how much structure we have in this. No, we do actually have structure.
We do, but we've just totally forgotten we were meant to introduce ourselves.
Yes. So here it is.
This is...
Should we just do it in under 30 seconds?
Yeah. Like,
all right.
Both Tara and I talk for ages about how to do this. We're just going to quickly do an intro because we hate intros.
I'm going to time us because I don't want to bore you guys. So,
yes.
And 30 seconds each. Mine first or you first. Okay. And go.
I am Grace Coolmore.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I'm the founder of Future ADHD.
Yes.
I'm mum to two boys.
Yes. Ages?
Ages 8 and 2.
Yes.
I live in Western Australia.
Yeah.
I'm married to Eric.
Cute.
And we've been together since we were 19.
Oh.
What else?
You're a big fan of...
What am I a big fan of?
I don't know.
I kill a lot of plants.
You do.
Big
fan of Love Island.
Big fan of
recently.
I love reading. I love research. I am writing a book and
stop. Okay. That was beautiful. Very proud of you. Very impressed.
Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. My turn.
Okay.
All right. I'm Tara Brusso. I'm a dietitian. Also live in Western Australia. I am a big fan of the beach and summer. And I hate winter, but actually I really do like the cold and pretend that I like the heat. But when it gets to it, it's too hot for me.
Mm.
And I am not writing a book.
But one day, who knows?
And I have two kids.
Yes.
And I'm married to Jesse.
Yes.
I'm Jesse's girl. That's me. And my kids are how old? Nearly 7 and nearly 3.
Oh, well done, babe.
So 2 and 6. Stop. Oh, yours was... As with everything in our friendship,
yes,
yours was very concise, very well planned and thought out, and mine was a bin fire. So let's move on.
Okay, now we're ready for dilemmas.
Okay. So each week we're going to bring you your dilemmas because there's nothing more that we love than other ADHD brains and their opinions and dilemmas that we can go through with each other. And give advice that is very, very much professional adjacent.
Yes. This is that thing that...
I.e. not professional opinions.
This is
just
that
us.
Thing that ADHDers do where one of our friends has, you know, you're all out for girls' lunch, someone confesses.
Mm.
Suddenly I'm an expert on de-sexing dogs.
Yeah, I've been there. I am an expert on many things when...
But with the confidence.
Yes. If I have qualifications, like as a dietitian, I know that I'm a good dietitian because of the way that my clients respond.
Yes.
But
also raging imposter syndrome.
Yeah, raging imposter syndrome.
Dark night of the soul.
Law.
I've watched.
Chefing.
I've watched Suits. I've watched MasterChef.
I'm an expert and I will argue until the cows come home.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you about the cows.
Yeah.
And how to de-sex them.
Yeah, yeah. So prepare yourself for... The kind of dilemmas you've been waiting for your whole life.
Yes. I am first up this week.
You are? You're going to read first.
Yes. Here we go. Hey girls, need to get something off my chest. Oh, get it off that chest, babe. Mm. So my roommate is the definition of neurotypical and I've got raging ADHD.
Don't we all?
I love her, but she pisses me off because she's always nitpicking at the little things. Like I'll be cleaning up, feeling proud of myself. Oh, I'm so proud of you too. And then she'll always remind me of the one tiny thing I forgot.
Oh. That's hard.
Like tonight I did all the dishes but forgot to wipe down the counter. She came in as I was finishing and told me I'd forgotten the counters and pulled a face like she was pitying me slightly. All kind of annoyed. Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
Yeah.
Then we were out getting coffee on the weekend and she told me I was talking too loudly and that the people at the next table were staring at me.
Oh honey.
Ooh. That is me. That is.
Yes.
I definitely can handle feedback, but it feels like she's constantly embarrassed by me. Oh, that's not okay. Mm. I know she's just trying to cope with my chaos, but I'm just feeling so shit about myself. Who wants to do anything around the house when you know there's going to be constant judgment? Don't get me wrong. I adore my roommate and I know living with me and my quirks can be a handful, but any tips on how to handle this or bring it up without turning it into a full-blown drama?
I just want to say straight away, I love this person.
Yeah,
I,
but not too much.
Awesome.
And the chaos, what about all the other amazing stuff you bring to people's lives by having ADHD? Yeah. Don't have to worry about the chaos. It's balanced by you being awesome.
Yeah, I just feel like we need to like gas her up a bit because she sounds a bit low.
She sounds hot AF.
Yeah, I love you. Sound hot, and we want you to come be our bestie.
Yeah.
Come, babe, come
hang out with us. And don't worry about those countertops.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Countertops can live till tomorrow.
We'll all do it together. As a little, we'll body double. Do it as a team.
Yeah. But it sucks. And also, I totally get that she's feeling low because that's hard when a friend is embarrassed. Like, she said that really well. That was, like, that was the heart of it. When you feel like someone's embarrassed about you, that's, like, the worst.
Is that
not the
that.
Worst emotion?
Yes.
When someone pities you as an ADHDer, it's, like... You can be angry at me.
Yeah.
You can be direct with me.
You can laugh at me.
You can even be passive aggressive.
Yes. And you can laugh that I'm funny with my ADHD. Like, you can be like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like how you laugh at me when I'm in the supermarket.
Yes.
And I just like knock people over with my trolley because my depth perception and my focus is just, and people will be like flying this way and that. And like, I'll be, crashing into things.
Yeah.
You're laughing at me, but you're not pitying me. If you pity me, I die inside.
But do you know why I think, here's my theory, like, why? You know, the laughing in the supermarket thing compared to pitying.
Yeah.
When I'm laughing at you in the supermarket, we're equals.
Mm.
We have a very equal relationship.
100%. You're not judging me.
I'm never, so pity and embarrassment are things that make the person, that person feel up here and then the person they're pitying is down
and
here.
And like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. It's like a definite like dynamic shift in
and
terms
you
of.
To, your chaos is adorbs. Like I love your chaos to to this person. Like I just don't feel shit about yourself. You've got to remember that your chaos is also that chaos of the way that you think, where people, you say these new and interesting things that no one's ever heard before and you bring new perspectives, and because you're a divergent thinker.
Yeah.
So you're going to bring these new perspectives and you're going to be creative in different ways and light people up in different ways that they've never been lit up before. So
yeah.
It balances out the chaos of not being able to, I don't know, put the spoons in the right spoon thing or whatever. Who cares about that?
But I feel like ADHDers take so much shit because the world prioritizes cleanliness and organization.
Absolutely.
We live in a neuronormative society. Yeah. And I feel like if you turned it around and said to that housemate, like, you don't make me laugh enough.
Yeah, 100%.
You're not sparkly enough. You're not spontaneous.
Yeah.
Like, we never
I know what
fun.
You're going to say when you get home.
Yeah.
And you always put your keys in the same spot and it's boring for me.
You're so predictable.
Yeah.
Like you could be like, oh, you're so predictable.
Oh, honey, you're so predictable. That's so...
Could you just not like... And it sounds condescending and it's shit and we would never do
You'd
that.
You'd never do it.
And so I think it's shit that like it's okay to comment on someone's personal hygiene or their countertops or whatever. And the reason is because countertops are a shared thing, whereas humor is not something that you require from a housemate. Traditionally, I do. You know how it's like you're looking for a housemate and you have that little interview with a housemate and it's like, are you going to clean every Saturday? Are you going to pull your weight?
Yes.
Does anyone ever say, are you funny?
Yeah, no.
I would.
No, they should.
That's important to
they
me.
They should.
I would be like, you're not doing it for me. Yeah.
How long does it take you to get out of bad mood? Because me, 0.3 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You get me a donut, I'm happy again.
Yeah, I'm good.
Pink donuts?
Yeah.
We're good.
Pink donuts, we're fine.
We're fine.
Yes.
I'm not
Do
gonna,
you have
I'm
that
gonna,
same quality or are you going to take months to get out of
she's
bad
stewing.
Mood?
She's stewing.
Are you going to bring your bad mood into the house? What?
Are you going to resent me? Are you going to hold little things back and then slowly dribble them out like little detention slips?
We don't have the staying power to feel. I don't also have the memory to hold grudges.
No. So I think like you need to re-interview this girl in your head and be like, actually, does she suit me? Yes. Am I happy with what she's bringing?
Yeah. And I'm sure she's great, but I just, this isn't okay.
No.
This, and I think that you need to explain it to her. So I think you need to say, I struggle with ADHD.
Mm.
It's a deficit of dopamine.
Yeah.
I don't function the same way that you do.
My brain processes dopamine differently.
Yes. And therefore, it affects my memory and my executive functioning, and explain what that is.
Yeah.
You know, tasks are broken down into all these steps, whereas you might think, I'm going to clean the kitchen, and you see that as all the steps at once, and you can manage them in your head without having to really think about it. For me, it's like, first I have to turn the tap on, then I have to put the soap in, then I have to do the knives, then I have to. So it uses a whole lot more thought, and that can get us zoned out. We'll also zone out usually during those tasks, because that's how we can manage them and be able to focus on them. And so sometimes I'll do those things, but when you say it in that way, I don't know if you're intending to, but I feel really stupid, and that's something that really affects me, because A, I have RSD, and you can explain that.
Yeah.
But B, I felt like that my whole life, that people are condescending towards me, or made me feel like I'm too much or too little, or childlike.
Yeah, childlike.
And
yeah.
People won't often talk about the positive childlike aspects of my ADHD.
Like curiosity, playfulness, humor, fun.
But they'll always point these things out. So I feel like there's an onslaught of like, you're not an adult, and that's, but I am an adult. And I bring a lot to the world as an adult.
Mm.
So it can be, it can really affect me with those. So just the way that you say it, if you can just say it as a reminder, like, oh, or just, if you can just say it as a reminder, like just go, oh, babe, the countertops just weren't done. No big deal. I know that you forget those things, and I'm just helping you out.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think when you have a relationship with someone, when they can remind you of stuff, it's a relief, because we can't remember everything.
100%.
It's just how you do it. It's not that the girl writing this dilemma shouldn't clean the countertops. We're not saying, like, you're ADHD, therefore that's your excuse in all of life. You don't have to contribute as much.
No.
It's just about, like, bringing that decent respect to someone.
100%. And not
believing the best, like, benefit of the doubt too.
And also saying to them, like, if you feel embarrassed by me when we go out, like, maybe we will keep our relationship to home, because I don't want to feel like I'm embarrassing. And also, I don't abide by the social rules of we have to be really quiet because no.
Like, if that girl was, like, oversharing about her friend really loudly, fair enough. But she's probably just, like, raving about the coffee, or,
she's
like,
she's excited. She's living life. She's bringing the dopamine.
She's
everything's a party, even going out for a coffee. And that's one of the positives of being an ADHDer. And, like, that's what you get. Like, when you have an ADHD friend, you get the, like, oh, my God, I'm actually listening. I'm here, and I'm completely absorbed in what you're telling me. That intensity. And the flip side is that is you're also going to have the intensity of, oh my God, what? That, like, the person yells in the cafe, and that might be a bit loud, and people might look over, but let them look. Someone is doing something different. It's not bad. The person's not getting up and, like, I don't know, harassing someone. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And often in our society, people will be not okay with someone being happy and joyful too loudly, but they'll, like, let it slide that someone says something completely not okay, like, say something slightly racist, or, like,
yes,
under their breath.
Yeah,
like, oh, we'll just leave it, because no.
Yes.
And this is where that ADHD, like, I do not follow the society, or all of the society rules, they don't align with my values thing, comes in, because is
critical
absolute
thinking.
Crap. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing before we move on, because this is very juicy.
Because you have ADHD, and I'm thriving on your one more thing.
Okay, good.
Say a thousand more things.
I'm going to say a thousand more.
You're not too much. You're just enough.
Thank you, babe.
No, you're not just enough. You're more than enough.
You are too, babe. I just want to say as well, there's an energy thing I sense going on here.
Mm.
And it feels like neurotypical roommate is maybe a little bit more reserved or introverted possibly, and just has a different energy. And you have an ADHD energy of excitement and all of that stuff we just said, energy. Mm. And sometimes those energies just are not compatible.
No.
So sometimes I think, like, when you're looking for a roommate, obviously, like, you know, you're not meant to fall in love and live together forever, but there is an element to it of, like, it's a bit like dating. It's a bit like, can we move in together? You're not in a romantic relationship. It doesn't need to be to that extent, but it has to work at least a little bit in terms of energy match.
Yes. But also you have friends that in certain contexts, like, it might be that, we don't go out for coffee together.
Yeah.
We're just, we're roommates, and maybe we need space from each other, or she writes you a list of exactly what she expects or you go together, you write a tick list of exactly everything that needs to be done for each task in the house so that everyone's clear and everyone can tick it off.
Yeah.
And then I don't know why I went there, but I was trying to go back to Alaska. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on. But that was good.
By the way, guys, if you have any divergent dilemmas or stories about ADHD or ADHD secrets of any kind, we need to hear them. Mm-hmm. So send us a message on, what is it, ADHDbesties.com.
Yeah. Or you can message us on our Instagram at ADHD Besties Podcast or our TikTok at ADHD Besties Podcast. La 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 la. Okay, next dilemma. So this dilemma comes from Alyssa.
Yes.
Hi, Alyssa. She says, "Hi, my question is about perfectionism. Where to start? Ha ha. But seriously, I feel like my perfectionism is one of my worst ADHD traits and the one that seems so opposite to the rest of my chaotic personality. I really want to build a side hustle that becomes my full-time job, and I've been trying to properly set up my boudoir photography business for about 18 months now. But my perfectionism is killing me. I've been working on my website basically the whole time, but every time I come back to it, I just see so many things I want to perfect, and I feel like it's so overwhelming, I give up and I just close my laptop and ignore it for another few months."
Oh my God, the field, yeah.
"And then I come back to it again, which is why I've been building a website for over a year now. I know I'm a great photographer and I have an awesome thing to offer, but this perfectionism is just keeping me from getting myself out there and I'm so over it. How do I rip off that band-aid? Thanks so much, Alyssa."
Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
You know what?
What?
Crazy, but I've experienced this before many times too.
Crazy, I have too. So we relate hardcore to this.
I do. You know what? As a geriatric ADHDer at the ripe old age of, how old am I?
36, I think.
36.
Are you? Or so you're 35? We always forget your age. It's so 30, funny.
30, no, December 87. 36 now.
Okay.
Yes. This is where it's
you're 36.
Fair. I was 35. A month ago.
This is why we get confused.
So, wait. So your birthday I'm 36. Anyway, so I'm old. And I've had ADHD for a long time. No, I don't actually have an authority to talk about this. But I have found, because I have done the same thing so many times, and you're like, I don't even want to do this anymore because I've looked at it for too long and the passion's all gone.
But, yeah, when it's been too long.
Yeah. Get it up.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, like on the vibe of like, just because it's taken that long doesn't mean you're not passionate about it anymore. It could. Sometimes it is a good sign, but it doesn't always mean that.
Yeah.
And there could be other things going on, but it's not a sign that this isn't for you or, you know. And I think Alyssa kind of knows that. She's more talking about like ripping off the band-aid.
But I think just put it on. So just whatever you've got now, put it up.
Yeah.
Get the ball rolling, get money coming through, and then maybe you can pay for someone professional to have a look at it and correct some things for you.
Yeah.
If that's something that's really stressing you out, you might notice that when you put it up and it starts having success that you don't even care about those things anymore, because at the end of the day, the real thing that you're trying to get to is having this business. It's not having the perfect website. Yeah. Otherwise you'd be a website designer. So just get it up there and then you can build it as it goes. I find that so hard though, to just like put something out there and that's just raw and whatever, because I can be perfectionist about certain things as well. But yeah, just throw it on.
Yeah.
Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
I
was going to say as well, I'm a perfectionist. And I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist, but that's a lie. I think I'll always just be.
Dude, that's such a perfectionist way of saying perfectionist. It's like, I don't want to say perfectionist anymore because that's sort of not the perfect way to get across what I'm trying to say. So I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah. It's almost like apologizing. Like I'm apologetically a perfectionist, but I'm aware and I'm in therapy. No, I want to say to Alyssa that this has literally happened to me so many times, but I also have the ADHD thing of like, I need to just get it out. I can't like hover on something forever too. So I get like the perfectionism. I get like working on something. And also I feel like the advantage we have as ADHD is that we do have impulsivity too.
Yes.
So sometimes I think, this is what I want to say. When you're a perfectionist, you are actually unaware of the fact that your standards are so high that if you put out your messiest thing that you're not happy with, it's still very, very, very good.
Yes.
And so just throw it out there. And I know that sounds easier said than done.
Yeah.
But
she's not saying you're a perfectionist. Okay, just don't be one. No. It's more you can perfect things once you have more feedback. Because also the other thing I think sometimes when you have ADHD, I don't know if this is something that everyone experiences or it's just me, but I noticed that I can lose focus of what I like. because I'm trying to see it from so many different perspectives.
Oh, that's a really good point.
What if this person from my high school saw it and I haven't seen them in 10 years and I can't explain to them exactly where I'm at in my life? Or, you know, I can't explain, you know, what if my uncle saw this?
Yeah, and it's like my mum's like running club. Or,
yeah, exactly. And you're trying to, so just take that step back and remember it's about what you like. It's not about, you know, trying to appeal to everyone. It's your niche. You have to niche down.
And it sounds like she has niche down with boudoir. That's great.
Yes. I think you were talking about having an avatar the other day. And it's like that person, creating that person. I mean, it's not an, it was groundbreaking to me. I'd never heard it before, but probably for people in business, it's not. But, you know, having that really clear idea of who the person that you're marketing to is, what they wear, what they like to eat, because you don't need to market to your Uncle Jeff. Like, that's not who you're selling boudoir photography to,
hopefully.
I hope.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's not. No, but it's about marketing to this person who's your ideal client.
Yeah.
And it just has to be right for him or her or them.
Yeah. 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 And I think as well, final point that we'll make is that often people procrastinate because of a fear of failure, a fear of maybe other times in your past where you tried stuff and it wasn't what you wanted.
Mm.
And sometimes we have this, all of these shoulds in our head of like, this is what the website should look like before I launch, or this is how I should be.
She's going to want to re-record this bit because she's a perfectionist. No.
I'm leaning in and setting an example.
Yes.
But like, this is how I should be feeling as I launch a website. I should be overjoyed. And actually, most of the time, every time I've launched, because I've launched a lot of businesses, I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur.
Yes.
Classic ADHD trait, to want to hop from project to project. And every time I launch something, I always feel sick.
Mm.
Like, it's not really like you're like floating on clouds and hopping along. And usually I push something out there because I just can't be bothered dealing with it anymore. And then I feel massive RSD.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll either find out pretty quickly no one's interested, or sometimes it's really popular. And I'm like, wow, who would have thought?
Absolutely.
So I think that just being aware that it's a very normal fear of failure response, but that doesn't mean don't try anything. Don't get out there.
And another thing on that is, if you're really struggling to make those decisions, to know if it's right, say it's you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know if I like this font or if I like these two, and you're finding it hard to decipher through all of the different options available, which can be overwhelming visually and mentally for the ADHD brain, you can do the first thing you can do is be real and like start the social media pages and say to your ideal audience or your avatar, say, do you guys, which of these do you like? And then you can base your decisions around something concrete from your actual audience rather than having to come up with it in your own mind. And then you feel like, well, that's them that's choosing. That's why I feel really confident in it, rather than how's this going to be perceived? You can sort of ask. And that's a way to get known and get out there and for your audience to feel like they're a part of that creation, and they want it. They were there from the start, so they want to be a part of it and book in with you, etc.
Yeah, perfect.
Mm.
Love that. Okay. Wishing you all the best, Alyssa. Oh, you're going to crush it.
Oh, Alyssa, that's a cute name. Okay. La, 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 la. Final segment.
Yes.
Because we have low dopamine brains.
Yeah.
We can't do the same thing every time.
We get bored.
We get bored. So we're going to do what's called an irregular segment.
Okay.
Which I like to call irregi-segi because I love an abreve.
Yeah.
And today's
Reggie Seggy.
Yes, is choose your torture.
Okay.
So
I'm acting like I don't know, but we did prepare in advance. But for the listeners, explain. Yes.
So choose your torture.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just a would you rather.
Yeah.
But choose your would torture you rather sounds more dramatic.
Yeah.
So ADHD specific. I'm going to start with one for you.
Okay.
Would you rather walk for 10 kilometers / miles? Which are not the same thing, but
we don't want to convert that.
I realize now it's meant to, but I don't, yeah. Behind a slow walker, or eat a punnet of berries without being able to select each individual one and check it over and make sure it's not smushy.
I didn't think they'd be this hard. I thought choose your torture was a bit of a wink.
Imagine blindly reaching in to like a container of berries and not being able to see if there's any like wet smushy. I think I'd rather walk behind the slow walker.
So you can't overtake. Obviously, you can't. Is it like the narrowest?
Just until you can overtake them.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'm like, oh, sure, I'll take that one. Why can't I ever take them? Where am I that I can't ever take someone?
It's
am
just
I
on the a rules. Or? It's just the rules.
Okay.
Do you when you play Monopoly, do people have to be like, it's not real money, Grace?
Yeah, no,
like,
I do.
Well, then what's the point?
Would you rather? I'd always ask so many clarifying questions because I was like, I will find the right
answer. You just have to. You're barricaded in.
Okay.
It's single lane.
Yes.
Human can't get part. You can't have two file. Single file.
I can't overtake. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, I think I would rather the berries.
Oh my God.
I know. And that's saying a lot because I hate that too. But I cannot be stuck behind someone slow. I do not trust myself. And seeing as berries are unalive,
but
they're okay. But I can't be trusted around someone alive when I'm that frustrated.
But what about... What if you got a rotten... What if...
What?
I could not.
What if you were stuck behind someone and you couldn't trust yourself to not hurt them?
What if you got the wrinkly blueberry that... Oh my God. Okay. No,
it's
okay.
Yeah.
It's your funeral.
It is. Okay. My turn.
Yeah.
I'll ask you one.
Mm.
Would you rather track all your spending on an Excel spreadsheet for a month?
Oh, definitely not that one.
Or clean out your wardrobe and take all the old items to the charity bin same day.
They've got to be realistic.
They are. In this scenario, you have to. It's just like the walking example. This is what you have to do.
It has to be the... At least going through the... like my cupboard,
yeah,
would give me a little bit of dopamine. Yeah. Plus, you do get dopamine from donating things because you're like, I'm saving the planet, even though you're not, because the poor charity worker has to sort through all the stuff. And
yeah, but no, there's another thing though with this element is that you have to wash everything before you donate it.
Oh yeah, no, it would all be clean.
So then, so then you have to like sort it. Then you have to do washing same day those steps.
Yeah. Okay. I think I could get dopamine out of that because you like try it. It'd end up taking me the whole day because I'd be trying on things. I'd end up looking like an old bag lady. But
yes,
I couldn't track my spending in an Excel spreadsheet.
For a whole month.
I can't even look in my bank account. Like, no. I can't, you know when it like lines up all the things, the transactions? Like,
yeah.
I don't even want to know what I was doing yesterday. That's so boring to me.
It's so...
No.
Okay, all right.
Even the word Excel makes me want to vomit. Okay.
I saw a mug yesterday that was like, I'm a... freak in the sheets, but it was like Excel sheets.
Oh my God. I'm a freak in the Excel sheets. That's the most neurotypical thing I've ever.
Should I get it for my husband?
You should. Eric would love that.
He would.
Okay. Mine is of a similar vein. So would you rather have your husband explain your household budget while your child interrupts you, going, mummy, 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 while your husband's trying to talk at the same time?
But you can't escape the conversation. No, you must keep talking.
It's like a good solid 15 minutes. So he's trying to tell you something and you really want to know what it is, but it's also still boring. So you're using all your energy to try and focus.
I have to want to know what it is.
And your kid's going, hey, mummy, the whole time. Or, that's making me angry just thinking about that. Or have to call and reschedule 3 appointments with a slow talker.
It's like a slow talker, slow walker. I'm seeing a theme here. I think I would rather the first option because I don't really care. I could just tune out and just focus on my child but pretend I'm listening. Whereas what really annoys me, the child interrupting thing is frustrating, but when I'm trying to share my good story, that's way more frustrating to me.
Yes.
Like when it's like, oh, Eric, I really, really want to tell you like this really funny thing happened, blah, 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 and then you get interrupted and you're like, huh?
Yeah, interrupted, and they don't get that.
The moment's gone. Mm. So I feel like I could cope if I'm getting interrupted by a budgeting thing.
Or you miss their reaction because they've sort of half heard it while you're being interrupted and then you don't. I just live for that reaction from Jesse.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that one.
So the next one I've got.
Mm.
Would you rather defrost your freezer?
No.
Or go to bed at 9 p.m., but you can't take a screen to bed with you. So even if you lie there awake, you must stay in the dark attempting to sleep from 9 p.m.
Can I have my kids in the bed with me?
I want to make it as hard as possible. So what would you prefer? Like, what should I say?
No, because if they're in bed with me, sometimes like as an...
Yes, I would say you can have them in the bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then I would probably be able to sleep thinking like we're all snuggled up and that'd give me enough dopamine. What was the first one? I don't want to do that.
Defrosting the freezer.
Oh my God, no.
Okay.
And it smells like freezer smells.
Oh, the weird like whiff of a previous vegetable smell.
Yeah, no, can't do it. My dad once had a leg of lamb and fish in the freezer at the same time. And then he cooked the lamb, and the lamb tasted like fish.
Oh.
And it's my Roman Empire. I think about it all the time. Okay, this one's for you.
All right.
And it was gross. We didn't eat it.
Last one.
Okay. Would you rather run 500 meters in wet jeans?
You didn't.
I did. I went there. Or keep a package on your kitchen table for a week without opening
it. Oh, my God. You're a monster. You are.
I couldn't do either of these things.
Sociopath. Okay. I'm going to need 10 minutes in silence to really ponder this one.
Okay.
Okay. Firstly, I think that when you're at the beach and your jeans get wet,
it is sandy,
when the wave hits the jeans and you have to be on the beach for another 30 minutes pretending to have the best time with your kids while actually you're dying a slow, graphic, horrendous death inside.
I think that's the saddest part in Titanic, is that they're wearing their wet clothes. It's not the drowners. Like,
no.
Losing the love of your life, that is horrible, but having to wear a wet... Like, all of those olden day clothes as well. Imagine how heavy they are and all wet. Oh,
yeah. No. And also, you know when you're watching those, like, nature documentaries, like those survival shows with, like, the fisherman, the simple fisherman man, and he hops out of his boat and he just jumps into the water with his shoes
What's he doing in those shoes?
It's into the shallows, admittedly. No. But then he just walks up and continues looking for, you know, whatever he's looking for in the bush with wet shoes on.
Imagine having a wet sock in a wet shoe. I can't even. I reckon I would die on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So no to that, but also no to a package on the table for a whole entire week. But given how much I hate wet jeans, I think I would say I would rather not open a package, which is also incredibly difficult not to do. So there you go. Now you really know how much I hate wet jeans feel on my legs.
Yeah, okay, because I think I'd have to run on the wet jeans to the post office.
I will get my parcel.
Okay.
On that note, I wanted to ask, so Tara grew up in New Zealand, and I'm obsessed with her Kiwi accent.
Oh, my God.
Which she can put on sometimes. And I wanted to ask if we could finish this episode by getting you to sing your Hyperfixation, which is if Lord sang in Lord's actual Kiwi accent, what would Lord sound like? I cannot
believe you're doing this to me.
Just because it's our first episode and everyone wants a little parcel on the table that they can open right now.
I don't think I could do it.
Ready? All right. We're ready for this. Tara has been obsessing over this and singing it constantly.
It feels so good.
When she discovered that she could sing this with a Kiwi accent.
I'm doing one line.
No, I think you need to do three.
I've never seen a... I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I do this all day. So the fact Grace is looking at me like, you've done this already 20 times today. Why can't you do it? But I'm having stage fright.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud of... I can't do it. And I'm not proud of my address. And this torn up town, no postcode envy.
Amazing. You got there.
I got it out. I got it out. I can't believe you just did that to me.
The world...
That's mean.
...needs to know. They need to know what Lord would sound like if she actually sang with her real accent.
And they also need to be validated that we all do those weird things like walk around the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sing it's Lord
your
and stim. Out.
It's your auditory stim right now. Anyway, so that's it for this episode.
It is.
I hope that...
We did it.
...you guys liked it.
Yes.
If you did, feel free to leave us a little note, a little rate, review, subscribe, all of that stuff.
Please do that stuff because...
Because we will RSD if you don't.
We'll RSD so much.
Yeah. Look, guys, we may just disappear next week because we're that inconsistent. Mm. So please.
Keep the dopamine high. Yeah. No. We can't tell ADHDers to rate, review, subscribe because of demand avoidance. So don't do it. Don't send us an eggplant emoji in our comments.
No. That would be terrible.
We've covered both bases.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, hopefully that one of those spoke to you. And we will be back when?
We will be back in your gorgeous little neurodivergent ears every Thursday. But as a special little treat for launch week, we're also going to drop episode 2 tomorrow.
Yes, we are. Ooh. So excited. And in episode 2, we have some juicy dilemmas.
Super juicy dilemmas.
Super juicy. All about RSD and relationships. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite topics.
And most importantly, you forgot to mention that we discuss why you should always, always burn the pen.
The pen? What? Mm-hmm. Mm. So?
So, we will see you bright and early tomorrow.
No, I just have to say flat no because I'm never anywhere bright and early, babe. But definitely tomorrow, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, no, that was bright and early was definitely a pipe dream. We will see you tomorrow when we...
Drop the next episode.
Drop the next episode. Until... whenever that is.
Until then, babe.
Yes.
Love you.
Love you more.
And don't RSD.
Oh my God, I probably am going to RSD. Yes. No, don't you RSD either. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri Boodja land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. It's integral that we acknowledge the original owners of the land, seas and waterways in Australia and that we remember the devastation that happened on this land to validate the history of Australia's Indigenous people and to ensure devastation like this never happens again.